prayer songs echo through New Delhi as Indians mourn thousands of COVID-19 victims. The second wave of infections is devastating India, where more than 6 million cases have been reported this month alone. The country is averaging 3,000 deaths a day, though the real toll is likely much higher. And a shortage of hospital beds and oxygen has left patients desperate. Jatin Anand is a reporter for the Hindu newspaper in New Delhi. He told us about one scene that he witnessed.
A single doctor manning the doctor station, virtually no other help from any paramedical staff or anybody. And people, basically COVID patients, sitting everywhere where they could find space. They were on beds, they were on chairs, there were multiple people on a single bed. Everybody hooked on to separate oxygen cylinders. There's no space.
Anand says the government is trying to reassure people, but that reassurance is faltering.
Most people are relying on themselves. I think that that proves the fact that they've realized that the government or governments per se or administrations cannot be depended upon. So I think most people have more or less accepted the fact that the system has collapsed.
Earlier this week, President Biden promised to send help to India, including oxygen, protective equipment, test kits, and raw materials to make vaccines.
Meanwhile, many people, especially Indian Americans, are stepping in to deliver their own aid because it can be painful to know a loved one is struggling with illness or even dying while you're thousands of miles away. Joshua McNichols with member station KUOW spoke with some in Seattle and has this report.
Agastya Kohli lives in Kirkland, Washington. He's a tech worker, but he's better known as the son of a towering literary figure in India named Narendra Kohli. So when Agastya's father died of COVID earlier this month, it hurt on a number of different levels.
He was a giant. And so the loss is both personal of a father to me, a grandfather to my nephews, a husband to my mother. But a lot of his admirers and readers are also mourning his passing, and it is a great loss to Indian literature, to Indian culture.
Even India's prime minister tweeted his condolences. After his father died, Agastya felt an urge to be with his family in India. He talked with his mother about whether he should travel there. They decided he should stay home for safety reasons, and so he began looking for other ways to help. That's when he realized, despite his father's prominence, there was no memorial service planned.
And the reality of it is that there's no gathering happening in India right now. It's not like neighbors are able to come over and sit with the family. In fact, the family itself, all the family members are quarantining from each other, wearing masks even inside the house.
And so, distant though he was, Agastya stepped in. He put together a prayer service for his father and streamed it online last week. An Indian-American singer named Gaurav Chanda started things off.
Lakshmi Kantam.
Agastya's experience echoes that of many Indian-Americans today in the region. Meenakshi Rishi teaches economics at Seattle University. She says the government in India underestimated the scale of the problem.
Public health, for instance, is completely collapsing right now. This was the nightmare scenario that everybody had been talking about. And then come January, every Indian was under what I call a cloud of hubris, thinking that they've dodged the bullet.
But they hadn't, Rishi says, so that now so many people have COVID that the social safety net in India is collapsing too.
My parents cannot get out of their house because their neighbors have COVID. They cannot bring a maid into the house because she has COVID. My father is 93. My mother is 88. I worry, who's going to feed these people?
That's a problem Lalita Upala has been working on. She's the executive director of the India Association of Western Washington. She says some of the problems hurting India right now have technical solutions, so she's been corralling expertise from the region's high-tech sector to help.
I'm very grateful for the tech-savvy sector of our community.
Her volunteers are building a support network, linking together small mutual aid groups springing up across India with people in need and with donors. In this way, local volunteers have helped in India where larger nonprofit aid groups like the Red Cross have struggled.
These are individuals who are putting in, after they finish their work for the day or while they do their work for the day, they are doing this also.
Different parts of India have different champions. Santosh Pillai's family comes from the southern state of Kerala. He works for Microsoft in the Seattle area. In conversations with colleagues at work and on social media, he's using data to tell the story of what's happening in India. He's fighting misinformation.
I'm sending the message to the numerous health workers and volunteers that you're not alone.
There are people in the U.S. who want to help.
Mentally, it is very rewarding to be part of the fight against the pandemic, even when sitting so far away from ground zero.
Across the U.S., Indian Americans are giving their time and their money to the cause. It's not the same as being there, but it's still important. For Here and Now, I'm Joshua McNichols in Seattle.